Hi, this is Farah Yurduzu from Jerry Pippin Show, and we are at 2nd Annual X Conference at Maryland. My guest is Richard Dolan. Hi, Richard. How are you?
Hi. Oh, thank you for having me on. Appreciate it.
Richard, you had two presentations in this event, yesterday and today, and both of them were great. And I know that you have lots to share with us. And where do you want to start first?
Well, this is one of these topics, UFOs, that you can almost start everywhere. I talked today about my feelings on the dangers of UFO secrecy and the damage it's done to the American political system over the last 50, 60 years.
In UFO subjects, there are two aspects. Somebody is trying to protect us from the alien dangers, but at the same time, not to have information is another danger. How do you see that?
Right. The thing is, there's been secrecy about this for so long, and you can make the argument that the secret keepers are doing this for the benefit of ordinary people who, the argument goes, could not handle the truth. Now, not knowing all of the things that were said at these secret meetings years ago when they decided on secrecy, I can't say how good their motivations were. And I'm not saying that there were no justifications, but look, we can't all be 5 years old forever, and we have to grow up at a certain point and be able to handle something that's true. And also, we should just ask ourselves, do we want a society that is based on a foundation of truth, or do we want a society that's based on a foundation of falsehood? And the other thing is that this is a topic that affects people in a very practical way. UFO secrecy means that, and very likely, there's some technology that has been recovered, that's been worked on at secret levels, and very likely someone's making money off of it. And very likely that there are technological benefits that would come to the rest of us if this information were to come out. And then even more basic than that is, if you believe that you are going to be a citizen in a free society, you have to have knowledge and in order to make informed decisions. And the fact that UFO secrecy has been such an enormous presence for so many generations now has undermined the traditional form of government that we have.
You also ask the same question as many people do. This technology is ours or it is extraterrestrial? How can we know the difference? Where is the difference? Where is the hint?
Well, it's hard to know. There's very little question in my mind, based on a large degree of personal testimony over many years, that there have been crash retrievals of UFOs and that human scientists have studied this technology and very likely studied bodies, alien bodies that go along with it. So there's a corpus of knowledge dealing with the technology and with biology and all these things. So there's further reason to believe that at least by the late 1980s or early 1990s, there were breakthroughs, I think, in what we can call anti-gravity or field propulsion technology. And I say this because there have been just too many people who've had their camcorders and have been aviation watchers out at places like Area 51 and out in Southern California, and they've seen objects that behaving non-aerodynamically in ways that just aren't supposed to be possible. And these are clearly being tested by the military. So we're developing flying saucers. The real question is, do we have, operational UFOs, or are they prototypes? And this is an argument that I know is going on in certain classified circles. I think the answer looks like it is that we do. So when people see a UFO, it's a fair question to ask, is it one of ours or theirs? And it's not immediately, you can't know immediately, except there are people who have claimed for many, many years that there are certain, let's say, telepathic experiences that they'll have with these objects. And I would assume that if that's the case, you're probably not talking about human.
It's not only the UFOs, in fact. If we are talking about the alien technology, it must be in our daily life, in the household tools that we are using, maybe very simple things or maybe very complicated health issues, in health right. issues. Also, one of the reasons is, what about the cultural effects? It is not only technology. If there is an alien touch over human social life, what about the cultural effects?
Well, that's a really good question. I mean, I don't know how I would want to speak about the cultural effects of this presence in our life. I do think that there have been cultural effects that have come from the damage to our political system. I think what we've become is a very passive nation. When I see cultural effects, the biggest thing I see is the effects of a television society and a you know, sit on your ass society, and when people basically sit down, watch their TV in their living rooms by themselves. That's the biggest cultural definer that I see. As far as what effect aliens are having, I don't know. I haven't really thought or been able to figure out how to think about that. The secrecy, there's certainly a lot of UFO and ET and alien imagery in our culture, which you and I were talking about previously there. And a lot of that's very negative in the form of video games. So the thing is, this is such a big topic, and it gets no public recognition, so one has to assume that there's some kind of effect it's having culturally. I don't know. The thing that makes me feel concerned is that this is such a large topic that gets no attention, and it seems to be going on secretly, and that's not something that inspires my trust, certainly. So, but as far as cultural effects, maybe other people would have better insights on this than I would. I'm not really sure how to measure cultural effects of human ET contact at this point.
You know what is interesting? Science fiction has a passport, has a visa. Science fiction is okay, but UFOs are not okay. My generation had a big admiration for science fiction movies. And I remember very well that I used to watch Star Trek when I was a little girl. Star Trek is okay, but Roswell, no. Why?
Because the topic is safe with Star Trek. Star Trek's great because the humans are in control. Mm-hmm. They're out exploring, and it's also, you know, make-believe. Once the cultural hierarchy starts treating, if they were to treat UFOs as something real, that's subversive. Because the secrecy of UFOs is very important for maintaining the social order as it is. And if you start upsetting that, this society, as I have said a number of times now, really the structure of power in this society could not survive true disclosure about UFOs. It would turn everything upside down. It's not possible to have a little bit of disclosure on UFOs. If the President of the United States were to talk about this, he couldn't talk about it just a little bit. He couldn't say, well, UFOs are real, good night, everyone. Because then there are an entire array of other questions that would come up as a result of this. Questions about alien abductions, for example, would be probably top of the list. People would start to think, hey, maybe those abductions really are occurring. That's a very serious thing to talk about. But then there are other issues that would be difficult for this current structure of power, such as, who's reverse engineering all this technology? Because it would not be difficult to realize that they probably are doing this. And then there are even more difficult questions like, you know, what about the existence of alien bases that are rumored in many parts of this country? There are such rumors. And if you were to admit that UFOs are real and they're alien, well, that would be on the table. And there'd be many other things. And basically, people would have to start coming to terms with the fact that their government was lying to them for 60 years about one of the most fundamental things of their reality. That, to me, would be a political nightmare for any president or any important politician who would have to then deal with this and explain why have we lied to you. You know, for your own protection, because we consider you children, or because some powerful people are making money off of this, whatever. But either way, the answer would not, I think people would not be happy with it.
Okay, now, when we speak about extraterrestrials, and extraterrestrial civilizations, definitely they are much more advanced than us in the technological way, as they can build the UFOs or spaceships, and they can travel all over the universe, galaxy, right. whatever. And they came here first. Not any government invited them, okay?
Mm-hmm. Right.
It may be in 1947, or maybe in the ancient Egyptian times,
sure.
first they came here. Yeah. But we are talking about the 20th century.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they came here, they started to do some things, and of course, they let them know their existence to the governments, this government, that government.
Right.
And governments, generally, they don't want to share what they know with the public.
Exactly.
Okay, this is the picture.
Yes.
But think about a huge civilization which comes from another galaxy with very high technological advance. Okay?
Right.
If they want, they wouldn't care the limitations of any government. If they wanted, they would show their existence very openly,
right.
and they will say, this government, I don't care you,
mm-hmm.
that government, you have no power, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. In that case, any government of this Earth planet would do anything. So maybe we have to think about that. Our extraterrestrial visitors doesn't want to be known by the Earth people. That's why governments has to keep this secret as a secret. It is not their choice. It is an obligation. It is not a preference.
That could be true. Of course, it's an interesting speculation, and it would be hard for us to measure or test it one way or the other.
Only a question.
Right. I don't see it as illogical, but I don't know how true it is. It could also be that if you're an extraterrestrial, you would be so far advanced. It would be, as you say, absurd to establish diplomatic relations with the that would be like me trying to establish diplomatic relations with, a band of gorillas in Africa. I wouldn't want to do that. You know, it wouldn't make any
sense.
Whatever
I want.
Right. So they, could be on that kind of a level. On the other hand, it could also be that they, as you say, I've wondered about this a lot, that they have certain things that they want to do here. So they establish various bases. And they don't want a hassle from the Earth population.
Mm-hmm.
They could handle us, but why bother? So you work out an arrangement with some of the local governments, and you give them little trinkets of technology in return for their cooperation. Sure, I could see that. But that doesn't mean that... So the government is obligated by that, but that doesn't mean that they don't have obligations to us. And so where's the basic obligation?
And of course, we are speaking as a blindfolded way.
Right. We don't have knowledge.
we have very little knowledge, and we weren't with them when they had their first meetings.
Right. No, we were not there. But a basic principle of living is, when in doubt, speak the truth.
Yes.
And, we just have to continue to remind ourselves, do we want a society that is based on a lie, or do you want a society that is based on truth? And maybe... there are people who actually think that lies are better than truth, but I'm not one of them. So, and also I think that we're at the point where it seems that there's been some very significant technological breakthroughs that have occurred as a result of this that are not being made fully available to the public, and you have to wonder if your future is being held hostage to secrecy.
Many technological advantages that we are using today,
right.
something very simple such as emails,
mm-hmm.
were a dream 30 years ago, 40 years ago.
Right.
And we are using and consuming technology very fast, and we take it as granted.
Right.
But when we were little kids,
mm-hmm.
a cell phone, a tiny cell phone, would be in Mr. Spock's hands.
Right, it was unheard of. Exactly. Our technology has gone so rapidly in the last 50 years, it's hard to weed out, like, which of this is intrinsic to just the rapid development of our own technology and how much of it we were helped along. I spoke to a man a couple of years ago who was adamant that some of the integrated circuit came from alien knowledge of alien technology. He didn't say, he said not all of it, but alien technology played a part in the development of the integrated circuit. I can't prove this, but this is, you know, one person said this. There's the argument that we've gotten some of other high-strength materials and from alien technology as well. But the thing with the other part of it, though, is, you know, technology allows you, our technology has allowed us to increase the rate of our technological growth, and not all of this can be attributed to alien technology. I mean, the fact that you have computers now to do some of your thinking means that you can come up with manufacturing innovations more rapidly, and which allows you to make better computers and so on and so on. So there's a kind of effect there. It's tricky to take out the strands of where the alien contribution is, but you have to assume that it's been there.
But at the same time, there are many places all over the world, they still don't have electricity in their home. They don't. They are living without having running water. I mean, not everybody is lucky like us.
Exactly.
The other effect of this contacts or this exchanging of the technology, yes, Earth people is having the advanced technology, but every year we are losing something from our humanity side, human side. Right. So we are starting to lose our emotions. Especially many lots of people doesn't care about environment, animals, protecting the water, protecting the air, that kind of stuff. And even we are getting selfish. We are taking care of ourselves. And even in the families, people, persons, is getting selfish. So as we listened, most of the aliens have their technological advances, but they don't have feelings. They don't have emotions. Mm. So are we in the way being more alien to each other?
Aliens?
Yes, this is what I say about cultural effects.
Wow, what a great thought that is. You know, they are our future. Well, we did not evolve in a concrete jungle. That's what we live in now. But we evolved in a real jungle, which we've obliterated, and it's changed us. I mean, people do.
Changing.
We are changing ourselves, and are we becoming like them? Well, humans don't express. You read ancient literature. You read the ancient Homeric epics, for example, and heroes are constantly wailing and weeping and joyful, and I mean, they're constantly expressing emotions, and that's what ancient societies have been like. And we have what Max Weber called a rationalized society, and as a result of that, it has transformed our personality. I have a personal theory that every society has a way of producing the kinds of personalities necessary to keep that society going. So that if you have, think of this, if you have a society that relies on a lot of minimum wage workers, that society will find a way to produce people who are appropriate for minimum wage work. It'll find a way. So that it will find a way to reduce higher critical thinking. It'll find a way to infantilize, you know, turn us all into like these children. So that we don't have the desire to do anything beyond that.
Yes.
I think this happens. If you have a society that is agrarian and all, you know, farmers, it'll produce tough, hardy people who can work long hours and not complain.
Yeah.
It'll happen. People will become the kinds of personalities necessary to fulfill the jobs of a society. And so are we becoming
a kind of synthetic, artificial being.
Yeah, right, right.
Artificial.
Hey, well, it gets even better than this. You start looking into the future of artificial intelligence. This is an interest of mine, a very big interest, in fact. And people think UFOs are a crazy topic. Hey, you know, they should read some mainstream books on the future of machine intelligence. And these people are saying, very matter-of-factly, in 20 years or so from now, your computer will be talking to you, telling you it's conscious and a sentient being, and you'll probably believe it. And furthermore, they say that there'll be increasingly a kind of merger between human and machine intelligence, that we will be having implants in our bodies, and so we'll be able to think faster and process information better. But of course, how will that change us? We could very well,
truly
be moving toward transforming ourselves into something totally different within the next generation or two.
Yeah.
It really could happen.
And now, for instance, especially about television shows all over the world, there is a format. And that kind of Big Brother shows, people is watching other people's lives with live cameras instead of experiencing their own life in their living room. They are watching other people's living room, and it is not a real living room, it's an artificial living room created in the television.
Right.
So there is a kind of message here, very direct message.
What is that message?
Don't be yourself. Be somebody else, but be uniform. Act like the others, eat like the others, think like the others.
Yeah.
And rejecting the UFO existence, ET existence, is a part of this program. Reject
Absolutely.
The UFOs. They are not real.
Yes.
Why you reject? Because other people are rejecting them too.
Yeah, our country is a big conformity factory. Our schools are part of the problem, and TV.
But all over the world, not only this country.
Yeah, yeah,
in
right.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. You're right. It is. That's what globalization is all about.
Yes.
Right, and that's a big part of it. So now you've got, globally, you've got five corporations owning something like 80 to 90% of all media that someone encounters in the course of their day. I mean, whether it's radio, whether it's TV, newsprint, internet. The chances are there's one of five companies that owns that source of information. I mean, that's astonishing. Now, there's still diversity in our culture, but, you know, truthfully, I think there's less of it than there used to be. And the pressures for conformity are tremendous. These TV shows you're talking about, I mean, are so reprehensible. They're horrible. They're disgusting.
Dating shows or getting married shows.
Right, yeah.
And the virtual programs.
They're, you know, ridiculous. But your point about it is one that I hadn't really thought about, and I think you're right, that, you know, they kind of create this voyeuristic culture.
Yes.
In which we look at these other people and we want to be just like them.
How do they fight? How do they eat? How do they sleep?
Which is in a very, they call them reality shows, but in fact they're non-reality shows. They're exactly the opposite of reality.
Yeah, we're reality.
And one of my thought that I've had recently is, you know, everyone knows the story of Alice in Wonderland.
Yes.
And Alice sees the rabbit going and she follows him down the rabbit hole, mm-hmm. and she falls and falls and boom, she lands in Wonderland, this crazy place, mm-hmm. where reality is upside down. Well, actually, I've come to think of mainstream media as Wonderland. In other words, when you turn on your television, you watch these reality shows, mm-hmm. you even watch CNN,
yeah.
you're in Wonderland. It's where, and it's the world that we're now being told is real, when in fact it's totally non-real. And the reality that you have and that I have and that ordinary people have, that's still reality. And by the way, in that world, people experience UFOs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's in Wonderland that UFOs are not permitted to exist.
Mm-hmm.
It's in this very tightly controlled corporate media,
mm-hmm.
in which, you know, there's no independent media, or there's very little independent media, let's just say that. I mean, the fact that I can talk to you about this, I guess, says that there's some. But there's, you know, there's powerful media, and that has the dominant share of control over people's minds. I mean, most people, even with the internet, I think 80% of Americans get their daily news from their newspaper or their TV news.
Mm-hmm.
So they're being spoon-fed crap, basically,
mm-hmm.
which is being poured into their head.
And as you know, now I'm thinking about Italy, I'm thinking about the new pope, the old pope, whatever.
Yes.
And as you know, Christian religion was forbidden. When it started.
Right.
And then what happened, first in Rome, it became legitimate religion. Something changed. First they were rejecting mm-hmm. the Christian religion,
right.
and then they accepted and they made it government religion.
Yes, exactly.
Okay,
right.
There is a big change.
Right.
Maybe one day accepting the UFO reality will be in the same way.
Good thought. That's a really good thought. And well, there's an old saying that...
I mean, Jesus Christ died because of this reason.
Yeah. You know, when a new idea... I think it was from Arthur Schopenhauer, philosopher. He said, when there's a new idea making the rounds, the first instinct is to ridicule it, and then the second step is to argue very strongly against it, And then the first step is to ignore it. The second step is to ridicule it. That's it. And then the third step is to accept it and say, well, that's the way it's always been, obviously.
Look at Beatles. I mean, at the beginning, they were rejected by the conservatives.
Yes, right.
Nobody liked them. Right. But, I mean, they're Beatles
right.
for years.
The Beatles.
Or Elvis Presley. I mean, these are the facts that we had in our life.
Yeah.
And one day UFOs will be like this. I don't know if we are going to survive and see,
right.
but maybe the next generations.
Well, one thing we can be sure is that reality does not stand still. And one of the problems that we all have, every one of us, we I think subconsciously go on the assumption that tomorrow is going to be like yesterday, so that the future will be kind of an extension of what the past has been. When in fact, the future truly is not predictable, and it's always unexpected. So will UFO reality be the established norm? Well, yes, it certainly could be. And I think it's, you know, given enough time, our civilization, it will be. Mm-hmm. I mean, I mentioned computers a few moments ago, and it is expected, as I said, that computer intelligence will actually one day vastly exceed human intelligence. So ask yourself, like in 30 years, you're sitting down with your computer, having a conversation with it, and then you can say, hey, by the way, can you tell me, based on an instant analysis of the situation, what is the likelihood that E.T. is here? And your computer will say, oh, they've been here for the longest period of time. And everyone will sort of get it, because I think it'll be impossible to hide it from a hyper-advanced computer intelligence, let's just say. So I think it could easily be the case that within the next few generations, that once the reality is acknowledged, yeah, it'll become a dominant reality.
Yes.
Very quickly.
And Richard, what about your latest books, your latest work?
Well, I, as some people who know my name, know that I wrote the book UFOs and the National Security State. That was I said it then and I say it now, is the first volume of a two-volume work, and that goes up to 1973. It's an analysis of basically the military and intelligence community's interaction with this phenomenon. I have, at this point in 2005, finished more research than I did when I wrote Volume 1. I actually have a lot done. I expect Volume 2 will be done in about 1 year. I think in the middle of 2006.
We are waiting for your new books.
Doing my best.
Definitely. I'm sure that they will be very successful. You said that future is not predictable.
Right.
But I believe that we can see about your future, and your books will be very, very successful.
Okay.
Thank you very much for this conversation, for this interview, and I wish you the best for your future projects.
The pleasure is all mine. Thank you so much for the interview. I enjoyed it very much with you.
Thank you.